This morning, we welcome Rabbi Rami Shapiro as our speaker. As you know, Rabbi Rami devotes his time to writing and teaching. Many of you have read his blog and the columns he writes for Spirituality and Health magazine. Rabbi Rami is a well-known author. He's published more than 30 books. I think The Sacred Heart of Loving Kindness is probably one of my favorites. Is that the correct one?
It's one of your favorites.
Then it is. Okay. Forgiveness is also a good one to read. And then I have The Golden Rule right now, so we will see how that goes. I haven't started yet. So lots and lots of books on all kinds of topics, and we're fortunate to hear him almost every month here at UUFM. Today he's going to speak on the topic, The Year of the Rascal, Subverting the Pablum that Passes for Truth. Let's welcome Rabbi Rami.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Hanukkah.
Today's
the last day of Hanukkah, and if the calendar is right, it's also Happy New Year. So, I usually December is very slow for me, but this the past 2 weeks I've been traveling a lot, talking at several UU fellowships and synagogues in New York and elsewhere. And the more the month of December went on, the more depressed I got from listening to the people I was hanging out with. Everyone is like totally devastated by the election. Now, I don't know if that's true here, but just the conversations I overheard when I got here a little early suggests, yeah, you're also really depressed. So, you know, talking about the pablum that passes for truth, the nonsense that passes for truth, a lot of it is perpetrated by us, by liberals, by progressives, who are just catastrophizing what's going to happen over the next 4 years. The fact is, you can't even imagine how bad it's going to be. Yeah, I did. Look at that. So what I want to talk about, I want to share with you some of the things I heard and some of the things I myself are thinking. In service to a practice in logotherapy. So you ever hear of logotherapy? Logotherapy was created by, his name just went out of my head. Anyone remember? Viktor Frankl, thank you. Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a young middle-aged therapist who was picked up by the Nazis as a Jew and sent to a concentration camp. And he was one of the first revelations he had in Auschwitz was the hope that people maintain. But it didn't come from a belief that things were going to get better. It came from knowing that they could always stop the pain they were in by running at the gates and having the Nazis shoot them. Right? In his book, A Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about this, is that people were in terrible pits of despair until they realized, you know what? If it gets too bad, I'll go toward the gate and they'll shoot me and it's over. And he said as soon as that happened, people's mindset started to change. They realized they had some modicum of control over their lives. So they decided, since I'm not walking to the gate yet, I might as well live my situation as best I can. Now, I'm sure that wasn't true for everybody, but he writes about that in the book. And then out of that, out of his experience, grows this logotherapy. He says that what people really hunger for is meaning. Not power, not sexuality, not anything like that. But meaning is what drives us. And the only way we can get meaning is if we have this sense of having some modicum of control over it. Okay, so one of the practices of logotherapy is to, this is not what he calls it, but it's super catastrophize your situation. Imagine it being the worst it could possibly be, and then realizing it isn't that. And then having some sense of, well, I can keep it from becoming that. So that's what I want to share with you. Rather than New Year's resolutions, I'm going to make New Year's predictions. I have a lot of them, way more than we're going to have time for. In this talk, we could talk about some of them and talk back. But, Andrew went to class. Okay, I need someone before I'm done, or maybe when I'm just done. I've got blank cards I'm passing out and pencils. And I'd like you to write your own predictions, because we're going to do not resolutions, but New Year's predictions for what may be coming. And you get an idea of what I'm looking for from some of the ones I'm going to share. This morning, I got an email from Suwannee, the St. Mary's Retreat Center in Suwannee. I taught there the very first weekend of December. And one of the people who was at the retreat sent a letter of complaint. It took her a whole month to get around to it. So she must have been really unhappy. But she sent a letter of complaint telling St. Mary's not to pay me her portion of the tuition for the retreat that I did. Because, she said, I was too negative. And so St. Mary sent me this. I don't know why people send you these things. What am I supposed to do? So I wrote back. I said, no, I'm not giving her the money back. You know, that's ridiculous. I'm not giving her the money back. The woman's insane. But her concern was I was too dark. So I just want to warn you now, no point in sending Jill any letters or email that really don't pay him. Because this is dark. So here's some of these are mine. Some of these I heard from different UU people and some Jews in New York who were like ready all to run toward the gate and just have them shot. So predictions for the new year. Donald Trump's private security force. So, you know, he's not just going to use the Secret Service. He's hiring his own guards. And he uses them already for, you know, when he does his rallies. So Donald Trump's private security force is going to be used to intimidate and silence anyone, especially reporters, who come to his different gatherings. So the Secret Service protects him just in that little area. But he's going to send his people out, because he's already doing it, to keep opponents quiet. And we will be intimidated. People, Americans, are going to have an increasingly difficult time distinguishing between real and fake news. Right, we're already, I assumed people were stupid. I always make that basic assumption. I assume people were stupid. Not you people, of course. You UUs aren't stupid. That's why they join UUs. But I think people are stupid. So how can you not tell fake news? Hillary Clinton is running a child pornography ring out of a pizza shop in Washington, D.C. That's absurd. So I went on the sites that are known to be fake news. I couldn't tell the difference between what was real and what was fake. I'm not saying Americans aren't stupid. I'm just saying I'm also stupid. I couldn't tell the difference. These young kids in Macedonia who are making all this money off of fake news are really good at it. So we're going to have more and more trouble telling the difference between fake news and real news. The extent, this is the catastrophizing part, to the extent that we will be convinced by Steve Bannon, who's President-elect Trump's consigliere, right? We're going to be convinced by Steve Bannon that the real fake news sources are the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, right? Network television news. Cable TV, except for Fox, but even Fox will be declared fake if Fox fails to fire. Say that three times fast. Fox fails to fire Megyn Kelly, William Kristol, George Will, and Chris Wallace. Right? If it's all Hannity all the time, Fox is fine. Otherwise, we're going to think Fox is fake news too. We will be convinced that Breitbart News is the only go-to news source for the truth. And I think that's really possible. And Alex Jones will be the new Walter Cronkite. The most trusted man in the world. Now, do you know who Alex Jones? Some of you are groaning. You know who Alex Jones is. So Alex Jones is the leading conspiracy theorist in America. He has a radio show and a website. and he's very, very popular. And the reason I threw him in here is because I was in California at a Tibetan monastery. And I was meeting with people from all over the world, and I'm sitting at this dinner, and it was a lot of people, so it's just a few of us at this one table. One of the leading Hindu scholars, I guess, from India was there, a person who is at the cutting edge of Google technology, who talked about Google's plan. Now, I don't know how true this is, but Google's plan to allow you to insert little chips in the heads of your newborns so they will have all of Google all the time whenever they want it. They'll be able to just ask Google a question in their brain and get the answer. So it was just an amazing group of people at this table. And one of the people said that the country, the United States, was led by lizard people. Lizard people. So, you know what that is. That's this theory that thousands and millions of years ago, lizards occupied the earth, and that humans are connected to lizard DNA, and they really run the show. And there's a website you can go to, and you can see how George W. Bush is really a lizard person, and how the camera catches him at the right angle. He looks like a lizard. It's totally ridiculous. But here were some of the leading spiritual teachers on the planet saying that. So I thought they were joking. And so I made a joke about it, and at which point I realized, mistake, they were dead serious. Then the Indian guy chimes in, oh yes, it's the lizard people.
Oh, no.
The whole table of some of the most supposedly brightest spiritual leaders on the planet were convinced that we are being controlled by lizard-human hybrids. So fake news has already won. I mean, that's that. Americans will come to believe that the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of assembly, press, religion, and speech applies only to people with whom they agree. Right? If you don't agree with them, then you're spreading lies, and so you have no right to free speech. The Supreme Court, and not, remember, not all of these are mine. Some of these are from fellow UUs and some progressive Jews in New York. The Supreme Court will deny any constitutional right to privacy and hence overturn Roe v. Wade and sanction the monitoring of all Americans' communications. As soon as they do that, we're going to find that the batteries in every cell phone are all exploding. Not just Samsung, but Apple and everything. And so in order to save us, because we don't want to go back to you know, landlines, so the government will step in and create AmeriPhone. And AmeriPhone will have a battery that does not explode. It'll also have a chip that allows the NSA to hear everything you're saying all the time. You'll be carrying around this monitoring device, like a baby monitor, in your pocket, and they will be monitoring everything that you say, write, and know where you are at any moment. AmeriPhone coming to a store near you. Let me throw out a couple more. It's dark, I know. President Trump, I saw this today on ABC Morning News. They're making this point about we've just elected a reality star as president. And his whole world is reality TV. That's the whole tweet thing. Everything he does, he says he wants to keep you in suspense. His campaign was a reality TV-like campaign. And his governing will be based on similar principles of reality TV. You have to have good guys and bad guys, keep people engaged, keep people involved, keep people on the edge of their seats so they'll keep tuning in to see what's next. So someone told me that President Trump will use reality television model for his Supreme Court appointments. He's going to appoint people who are like, not actually, literally, but who are like Judge Judy, you know, the Judge Alex, I think that's divorce court. You know, these TV judges, I mean, they're actual judges, but they're made for TV judges. Then he's going to put cameras in the Supreme Court so they can play to the camera like they do on TV, and everything is going to be televised. And ultimately, the way it was put to me was, the court system will be closer to Judge Judy than Perry Mason. When I pointed out that those were both television shows, the person said, shut up. But that just shows how deeply engaged we are in the TV reality. So these judges will be playing, you know, to the cameras. And eventually, Facebook is going to be linked to the court system throughout the country so that we, the people, can be the jury. And you can vote on the guilt or innocence of anyone that you're following on your Facebook feed. You know, you just hit, you know, thumbs. It's just like the Roman Colosseum. Thumbs up, they live, thumbs down, they die. So, but the same thing. You can just hit like or dislike, guilty or not guilty, and that's how the fate of the person on trial will be determined. Reality TV judges and you and I as the TV jury. That seems very probable to me. I'm going to give you one more. And okay, based on the same idea, what Trump is going to do to judges, to the court system, the military, media, financial, big pharma complex, however you want to, you know, it's going to do to war. We already have war on video. You can, you know, we watch the smart bombs go in, but they're going to perfect the camera so much that you'll really be there. You can watch war on TV, live, real war. It'll be a reality kind of approach to war in that the networks who are following any given war will have their reality film crews embedded with actual soldiers, but they will focus on and perhaps even supply specific soldiers with whom we will associate. We will feel real connection to those people. We'll care about their lives. We'll learn their backstory. We will hope that they, you know, that they survived whatever war we're in. And one of the ways we can help do that is that we can buy equipment for them, which will allow the government to save money and get us to spend more money so that our people will win. We can buy, you know, flak jackets and whatever bullets or whatever they need. And so they don't actually have to raise taxes. We'll just give the money because we really care about these characters who are actually real people in a real war. But the whole thing will become a fantasy to us. We won't be able to tell the difference between real war and faux war, but we'll be so attracted to the TV show war that we have to constantly be at war. Each season we'll have a new enemy. It doesn't really, it's like 1984. It won't matter who the enemy is, but we have to constantly have an enemy because we need this connection through this television show. This is like, I think, I love that. Oh my God. All right. So is this going to happen or not? I mean, I've got more that we can talk about. So here's the argument for it happening. If I just lay it out for you now, you can say this either isn't going to happen, which probably means it will, or we could stop it from happening. Where's the revolution? Where's the resistance? So there's a wonderful book that came out last year. I think the book is called Mediocre. But it's about how America is we're going to get rid of the underclass. Everyone will be of a certain, there'll be two classes in the country. There'll be the haves at the very, very top, the have it all, you know, people. And then there'll be the rest of us who have just enough to be fat and satiated. That we will have enough bread and circus to keep us from caring about it. That we will have our phones, AmeriPhone, it's coming, and there'll be all these fun games to play on. We can watch and vote about who's innocent, who's guilty. We'll be able to vote and send assistance to our favorite soldiers. We'll be completely involved in this faux democracy, and we'll have just enough stuff to distract us that we won't care about what's happening to us. So I want to just quote a very lovely UU woman who said, "The American experiment in freedom fails, not because we the people are defeated, but because we the people prefer not to be free." Read it again. "The American experiment in freedom fails, not because we the people are defeated, but because we the people prefer not to be free. It seems to me that you use are, not everyone clearly, and not every church is the same, but the UU progressive end, right? The progressive end of you, that you use like you use, are the front line against this potential madness that is coming, not just in 2017, but you know, over the next 8 years. And then maybe longer when President Pence. So the challenge of this to me, and I'm passing on to you, is to think of the most catastrophic stuff that can happen. Get that out of your system. I'm going to ask you to write those down and talk back. We can share them. So the worst things you can think of, get them on paper, get them on your system. And then we have to discuss, so how do we resist this? Not just the extreme, which we'll go, okay, that's not going to happen. But once we know that we have some understanding of running into the wall and getting shot, what can we do now that we've decided not to go that far? What can we do with the mess we're in? How can we resist it? Or can we resist it? But how can we resist it in order to make, oh, I forgot how it was put in one of the readings. But anyway, how to not lose hope, but how to make the best out of the madness into which we are descending. So, Anna, you want to just pass the cards out and the pencils? So you can take those, think about it, and write yourself a note during the break. Come back if you're coming back for talk back. And we'll share what you wrote and see just how depressed we can get. So, Happy New Year!